Thank you, David. Welcome again this morning. I'm Pastor Matt Posta. For those of you that have been visiting here for the first time today, or maybe have not been here in a while, it's been my privilege to be called of God to be the pastor of this church, and I thank God for that privilege, for the opportunity to be here today, for the opportunity to remember that the Lord Jesus Christ is risen from the dead, that we do not have a vain faith, one that's empty of content or reality, but that He is risen from the dead, and so He has given us hope that we also will be raised from the dead if we are in Christ. And so we thank God for that. We wanted to switch up our plan at least a little bit this morning and have the children's ensemble come at this time to minister to us. They've been practicing something for a number of weeks, and so we look forward to their ministry. I think they have two songs, and so I'd like to invite them to come forward at this time in the service. And our sister Anna Widgen has been very diligently working with them, and so there they come. Come on right up. Oh, I see. It's a little blocked this way, so maybe come around and come up the center. I trust somebody has their camera. These folks have come fully outfitted with all their instruments here. And Wow, thank you. Very excellent. Maybe you do want to come back tonight and do that again. How about that? Okay. All right. I'd like to just share a couple of announcements with you this morning. We do have the privilege to have two of our missionary families with us, Jack and Jennifer Mitchell over here, and Terry and Carol Thompson in the third row back. Terry will be speaking to us in just a few moments. Brother Jack Mitchell spoke to us both the earlier services this morning. And so if you have not met them, be sure to do that. We have enjoyed their fellowship in the gospel for many years. I don't remember the first time I met them, but they've been working in their various fields of ministry for some time and just have a lot of wisdom, a lot of things that they can share with you and just be an encouragement to you. We kind of cheat you all because they get to stay at our house, and so we get the benefit of seeing them and staying with them and serving them and they serving us, and it's just a great mutual thing. So take some time to meet them afterwards if you have not already. This evening's service, we'll be back to have some more special music, and then also our missionaries will be with us and take some questions and answers from you And so we'll do that as well. I'd like to just have a request of you all, too, with respect to the new little baby that's been added to our assembly, Mr. Benjamin Joshua Reeves. And 8 pounds, 15 ounces, 21 inches, and healthy and everything, doing well. So Jenny Lewis asked me also to say with that, she would like to provide meals for them for the next 2 weeks. If you can help with that, please see her today, so that you can get that all arranged. The Reeves went home on Friday afternoon, so if we kind of get those going pretty soon, we'll catch them here right at the beginning when they need them, and I'm sure that will be a blessing to them. Also, some of our ladies are working on what we call our exam snack packs for our college students, and so see Becky Banks particularly if you want to help with that. If you can bring some kind of goodie or non-perishable thing and units of 20 or whatever, counts of 20 or 40, whatever, and add those to those packages. That will be done on Wednesday evening. And we're having all the singles and college students over to our home on Friday. Already it's here. And so we want to just make sure you are all aware of that. If you are an unattached 20 or 30-something, well, you must come to our house and meet some others of your same situation. And we have a number of others from two or three other churches that are coming as well in this area. And so we'd like to just invite you out for that as well. I think I'll let you see the rest of those announcements there yourself in the bulletin. And let me see. Is there anything else that I need to cover? Mr. Smith, where are you? Is there an update for me? He's out there. Okay. All righty. I'd like to just also acknowledge that Brother Jeff Dowell called me yesterday and his father was in the hospital. He's still there, I presume. Is he doing any better or worse or kind of going along? Okay, about the same. So we'll pray for him just now. But he has had a number of problems, including now just lately an infection in his blood. And so it's very serious. And so we're going to just ask you to remember Jeff's dad, Ron Dowell. And we've gotten to meet him on a number of occasions and have become friends and acquaintances. And so we just want to ask you to pray for him. He's up in Grand Blanc in the hospital there right now. So before we do that, though, I'd like to ask the men if they'll come up and take up your offering for the Lord's work. Thank you, gentlemen. And thank you, Michelle, for ministering to us in music. Thank you very much. Let us pray. Brother Bill, will you lead us? Thank you, gentlemen. Thank you very much. I'd like to read from Luke's Gospel, chapter 24. Luke chapter 24, verses 1 through 12. The scripture teaches us here that it was on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they and certain other women with them came to the tomb, bringing the spices which they had prepared. But they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. Then they went in and did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And it happened as they were greatly perplexed about this, that behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. Then, as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee, saying, 'The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again.' And they remembered his words. Then they returned from the tomb and told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles. And their words seemed like to them idle tales, and they did not believe them. But Peter arose and ran to the tomb, and stooping down, he saw the linen clothes lying by themselves, and he departed, marveling to himself at what had happened." Let's again look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this word of truth, the word which is foundational to the truth of the gospel, the good news that though man departed in his own way from God and thus suffered the penalty of sin, which the scriptures tell us is death, that here we see the solution to that problem, that the Lord gave himself for mankind. He died. He, in so doing, paid the penalty of our sin in his own body on that tree called Calvary, the cross. And then, to demonstrate that death did not have its sting any longer, the grave had not its hold anymore, he escaped from that place by raising from the dead. And so, Lord, we thank you for this. We thank you that Christ is risen indeed, that we can preach as proclaimers of the message of truth, that not only the name of Jesus, but also the resurrection, that he is risen again. And so, Lord, we thank you. We thank you for those, all of us in this room, who have professed personal faith in Christ and have become identified with his death and his burial and his resurrection, and been made to walk in newness of life because of what he has done. Thank you for the freedom that he has given us from the bondage of slavery to sin, the bondage to death. Thank you that he has released us from that and given us good hope through grace for all of eternity. Lord, I want to pray this morning for one of our dear friends, and for Jeff's father, for Ron Dowell. Lord, I pray that you will strengthen his body and help him to be able to overcome this illness that has beset him and given him this great trial. Lord, I pray that in the midst of it, you will give him grace to help in his time of need, that he will rely upon you, perhaps we could say in a way that he's never done before. And Lord, so that he will find the sweet grace of God to be his sustenance in the midst of this very deep trial, these deep waters through which he is passing now. We ask for your help. Help the doctors, help the nurses and all the staff and the lab technicians and everything. Help Jeff and his wife and Jeff's siblings and Jeff's mom and all of these folks that are concerned and worried and wondering what shall become of all of these things. and we commit him into your hands, our God. We know that you are the great physician. You can decide whatever you want to heal anyone of their diseases, of their problems. And so we commit him to you in that way. Father, thank you for our missionaries, some that are here today and others we pray for each time in this section of the service. We pray that your hand will guide them and protect them in whatever difficulty or endeavor they find themselves in. I pray that you will just open the door for the gospel message. Some have preached already today. Others will yet in the coming hours, remaining in this day as the earth circles the sun, hanging in outer space where you have placed them until you change this arrangement with the new heavens and the new earth. And so, Lord, we just pray for these folks, pray for their work, pray for the people they're ministering to, families just like ourselves, with joys and delights and problems and trials, and people who need the Lord above everything else. And so we pray that you'll encourage them and strengthen them in their work of ministry down in South America and South Africa and New Zealand and China. Oh, for those believers there and for other restricted nations where there are hardly even a handful of Christians. We just pray for them and ask that you will help them. And we pray for our brothers and sisters who are persecuted in the faith because of their profession of the name of Christ, that simply this name has put them in danger of their very lives. And so we pray that you will sustain them and help them in the midst of the difficulties they face. Thank you again, Lord, for this day that we can set aside, the Lord's Day, on which we remember the resurrection of Christ. And Lord, I pray that it will be maybe for some of us the first of a whole series of days and Lord's Days in which we worship in spirit and in truth, and that you draw us near to yourself. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. This time I'm going to invite the ensemble. I can't call it the ladies' ensemble now because they've added some key gentlemen that can sing to this group. And by the way, they left me out of that. So I'm going to sit down and listen and enjoy. And thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for your ministry. We look forward to this. So please come. And then after they are finished, I'm going to ask Brother Thompson to come straightway and share with us his message from the Word. Thank you, folks. Come on up.
Clothed in glory and majesty.
forgot one detail, and that is that the children are dismissed for junior church, and they'll enjoy some time with a couple of our missionary wives, and so we know they'll look forward to that. Great. Okay. Terry Thompson is with us today. He's a general director of the Gospel Mission of South America. I've had many opportunities to fellowship with him, first on work teams with some of our brothers here, and now lately as a board member on the U.S. board of the Gospel Mission of South America. And it's been a great privilege to work with him, a fine brother in the gospel, and I'm looking forward to his challenge from the Word today. Thank you, brother.
I enjoyed those special numbers, but really I don't think they were singing for us. They were really singing for the Lord. And Dr. Mitchell shared with us how some came to know Christ as Savior in the earlier service. And I'm thinking, I enjoyed hearing that. Brought tears to my eyes. But the greater thing is that it pleased the Lord, because He was the one that saved them and brought them for Himself with a price. And so these things in church, I realize we enjoy the little ones singing and the ensemble as well, and yet singing for the Lord, they're part of the church. The little ones too, they're part of the church. Those that know Christ as Savior, they're our brothers and sisters in Christ. And it's wonderful that Fellowship Bible gives them a chance to participate in that way, praising the Savior. If you came this morning to hear Pastor Matt Postiff preach, my apology. And I recently heard him and down at one of our candidate school meetings teach on the parable of the talents, I believe it was, and I learned a number of truths new to me, and I really enjoy listening to Pastor Matt Postiff preach the word. So my apology if you're disappointed this morning. And but I do appreciate the opportunity to be here and to share with you from God's Word, and just by way of testimony as well, to thank you as a local church, Fellowship Bible Church, for your support of the different missionaries and some very generous gifts that have come from you. And we take special note of that, and we praise God for it. And so these things result in much prayer and thanks to God for even how the Lord has led you to participate. And of course, for the work teams, every time we meet as a board or candidate school, we're meeting in the rooms and the places that your men help prepare, and we'll never forget you because of that. And we're always grateful for the sacrifice of those who came and helped us. And just thank God that we can serve the Lord together in so many different ways. By way of testimony, my wife went out just now with the children, but my wife was born in Canada but went to China when she was a month old. And her first years were in Sichuan province in China, growing up with missionary parents. And they were under communism for a few years there because they were too far inland when Mao swept across China, and they could not get out until 1951 or 52. But my wife went to Bible school and prepared to go back to Thailand as a medical missionary, a nurse. She got her RN and was headed that way. I grew up out in the state of Washington, the son of a farmer and a logger, but I was saved in a little country church, Joyce Bible Church, heard the gospel, recognized that I was a sinner, and realized that God loved sinners, sent His Son to die for them. I accepted Christ as my Savior and began to walk with Him. So all of my growing up years, I could pray and talk to the Lord and serve Him even as a child and believe in Him. And then went to Bible school as well, went off to Chile for some post-grad training as a short-termer. In those days, a short-term was 1 year. So I spent a year in Chile, mostly doing construction work and learning Spanish, building churches, helping missionaries. And God burdened my heart for that country, for the people, many people without Christ and totally living in fear. And so I married Carol in 1973, persuaded her to go to Chile, not Thailand. And we served down there for 21 years together. Our three children were born and raised there in Chile. And then we accepted an appointment to be general director to serve in administration, which meant we had to come back to Fort Lauderdale, Florida, where our international office is. And we've been serving there, in and out of there, for the last 15 years. And we continue to do that. Now, one of the blessings in our life is that our three children went on to Bible school and found godly mates, and now they're back on the field, two of them serving in Chile with their families, and one in Uruguay serving, preaching the gospel, church planning, and witnessing for the Lord Jesus Christ, which pleased us that the Lord would call them to serve Him as well. And I know they'll never regret it. They may not have too much of the worldly goods of this world, but they'll never regret investing their lives in the souls of men and women and boys and girls. And right now, Carol and I, we sometimes we get a real special blessing, and in June 4th, we get to go back to Argentina to replace the Gibbons family, whom you folks have prayed for, and many of you know, and they have to come home on furlough every 5 years. And they couldn't find anyone to stand in for them, because you have to preach in Spanish to be able to fill in for them. And so we volunteered to go and help for those 8 months. And we leave on June 4th for Argentina. And if you remember us, pray for us that we'll be bold to preach and teach God's word. And pray for souls. Recently, maybe in the last 5 years, I used to put as my prayer request to pray for wisdom, because anyone in leadership needs wisdom. We're always short on that. And but now I put on there as well, pray for souls, because we've been praying for souls, and the Lord really has answered prayer in that way. In recent years, we have Bible camps that function kind of in cooperation with our local churches, and some gentlemen offered to put scholarship money up for unsaved kids to go to the Bible camps, and recently a good number of those young unsaved kids that have gone to camp have come to know Christ as Savior. Usually about 100 young people in a camp, and maybe 30, 40 of them unsaved, and oftentimes a dozen, 15, 18 make decisions for Christ and come back to the local churches and receive good Bible teaching to train them for their growing in Christ. So the Lord can save souls. The Lord's calling out a people for Himself out of these nations, Argentina, Chile, and Uruguay, where we serve. And it's just a privilege to serve the Lord there in those countries. And I think the last time I was here, in an evening, my prayer request was for 100 new missionaries. And it seems like a lot of missionaries for such a small mission. We're about 50 strong. Well, not counting all the board members and everything else, but about 50 of us. And to ask for 100 seems like too much. But you know, the Lord's honoring that, and we've been seeing a steady trickle of new missionaries coming on board. Now when we go back to Fort Lauderdale in May, we have a candidate school, and we're hoping there's going to be three new missionaries in that candidate school, and a couple going, the ones that go and help the Gibbons down in Argentina, but go permanently, not go for 8 months like us. So we just thank the Lord. Keep praying for that 100 new missionaries, and the Lord, if He burdens your heart to come and serve with us, Dr. Mitchell and Mike Brunk are two men that really have been a good testimony to me, because they were for years in regular work, the dentistry or post office, and then somehow the Lord got a hold of their hearts, and they're full steam ahead in full-time ministry for the gospel. And they were not 18-year-olds. They were not 20-year-olds. And I take my hat off to them. And I thank God that the Holy Spirit, He's no respecter of persons. He calls people of all ages to serve Him. And I just thank God for their example of their life. Willing obedience, obeying God's command on their life. And willing to step forward and serve the Lord. And just to me, what a great blessing. Proof that the Holy Spirit is working in life today in life. If you have your Bibles, please turn to John chapter 20. John chapter 20. And I'll just read a few verses and we're going to meditate on this. I'm so thankful of this resurrection day. It has such great meaning to everyone that has believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. But let's just read this portion. John chapter 20. And let's begin in verse 20. I'm just going to read a small portion. God's word says, "And when he had so said," John chapter 20 and verse 20, "he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. And then said Jesus to them again, 'Peace be unto you, as my Father hath sent me, even so send I you.' And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, 'Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them, and whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained.' But Thomas, one of the twelve, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, 'We have seen the Lord.' But he said unto them, 'Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe.' And after 8 days again, his disciples were therein, within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, 'Peace be unto you.' Then said he to Thomas, 'Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing.' And Thomas answered and said unto him, 'My Lord and my God.' Jesus said unto him, 'Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed.' And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name." Shall we pray? Our Father, again, we look to you for your power and that you would open our eyes to understand your word and to believe. And Father, we thank you for the children. May this time together be good as they learn principles of your word that are eternal. Bless them, Lord. And Father, again, we look to you. We trust in you. Speak, for we, your servants, hear. In Jesus' name, amen. I know it sounds very simplistic, but believing in God, believing in the resurrection, those things go together. And down in South America, when a person comes to be born again and put their faith in Christ and trust in Him as their Savior, we don't call them Christians down there, because basically Chile, Argentina, Uruguay would have a Catholic background, and everyone's a Christian. If you're not a Christian, that means you're a monkey, and therefore everyone's a Christian. So what we do is we call people creyentes, and a creyente is a believer. And that, as Dr. Mitchell suggested, one man said, I believe those things. And that's what separates us from the rest. We believe. And here I want to start out with us looking at verse 25, where Thomas says at the end, "I will not believe. I will not believe." Now, most of the people in South America do not believe the gospel that Christ died for our sins, that he paid the penalty, that all we have to do is accept a free gift of forgiveness, of salvation, to be saved. Most of the people don't believe that, but lots of them don't believe that because they've never heard it. At least they've never heard it with their heart to believe it. And oftentimes they may have heard it on a radio program or on a television program, but they've never seen it fleshed out in a person who was standing there talking to them and sharing the gospel with them. And so there are lots of people in the world today that don't believe in the resurrection. They don't believe that Jesus rose from the dead. I think it's easier for people to believe that someone died than it is to believe that someone rose from the dead. Because they know our parents, our grandparents, our great-grandparents, they've all died, so we're used to people dying. We're not used to people coming back to life after death. So the resurrection becomes a real, shall I say, kind of a crossroads. Do you really believe in the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, that he arose from the dead? Perhaps that's why God chose to, through the Apostle Paul, in 1 Corinthians 15, to enter that in. Christ died, and that Christ rose again. That's the gospel that Paul preached. And it's easier to believe that someone would die than it is to believe that someone would raise again from the dead. But the people in South America, like the people here in the United States of America too, many people do not believe, and there are different reasons. Now, we have a specific example here in verse 25, and it's not that Thomas's eyes were blinded. It's not that he was dead in his trespasses and sins, and it was not that he was such an unbeliever. He actually had been a disciple of the Lord, following the Lord. So he was a follower of Christ. He was a disciple of Christ. Yet, so he was not in that group. And I think we read in the scriptures that broad is the way that leads to destruction, and narrow is the way that leads to eternal life, that leads to God. And we realize that lots of people are on their way to a priceless eternity, and few there are that are on their way to live with the Lord, have their names written in the Lamb's Book of Life. But I believe there are probably 40 to 50 million people in Chile, Argentina, and Uruguay that still don't know Christ as their Savior. That's our burden, to go and preach the gospel, that the Lord would call out for himself, a people for himself from these nations. We don't know how many will be saved, as Dr. Mitchell already said. We don't know how many will be saved, but we want to be faithful in obeying the Lord's command to go and preach the gospel and share the good news with them. And the Lord is calling out a people for himself. Now, Thomas's case here is a little different. He obviously had known Christ, he had walked with Christ, he had heard his teaching and preaching, and yet the resurrection, now that a person could die, he saw the Lord die, probably, because he already knew there were nail prints in his hand, and he knew that the spear had been thrust into his side. So death, he could understand that one. Resurrection, it was the Sadducees in the Bible. It was a group. The Pharisees, they believed in the resurrection, but the Sadducees, they could not take that part of the resurrection. And Thomas was having trouble with that part. He said, I can't believe on that. And so there's two types of people then that refuse to believe in the resurrection. There are people that never heard the gospel. They don't know anything about Jesus Christ dying in their place to pay for their sins. And then there are people like Thomas who do have a knowledge. They do have a knowledge. And I would liken many of the people in South America to Thomas in that respect. They may believe in the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. They may believe in the Trinity. But when it comes to understand the supernatural part of salvation, that Christ died and that the Lord, his Father, raised him up again, resurrected from the dead, that part is foreign to them to understand that. And Thomas had trouble with that. He said, I'll have to see that with my own eyes. And yet the Lord has clearly demonstrated that his resurrection was real in his word. Let's just jump back to verse 20 right there. And it says, and when he, Christ, had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Now, I won't pull my shirt up to show you my side here this morning, but maybe he did that. Maybe he opened his cloak, so that they could actually see the scar that remains on that glorified body of our Lord Jesus Christ. We sang a song up at Northland about the scars that remain. They remain there. And I just think it's wonderful that the Lord Jesus Christ would do that he would say, take a look, remember the nails, remember the sword, and show it to them. And that seemed to confirm in their hearts that Christ had really been raised from the dead. And of course, we can see that the Lord intended for them to believe. In verse 27, when he spoke to Thomas, and he commands him, go ahead, touch my hands and my side, and be not faithless, or be not unbelieving. In Spanish it says unbelieving. Be not unbelieving, but believing. And folks, this morning, that's the greatest thing I could say to you, is your whole destiny, eternal destiny, rides on that. Do you believe? Or do you not believe? Do you believe that Jesus Christ died to pay for your sins, that he rose again, and that he's coming for his church? Do you believe or do you not believe? Knowledge won't do it, but believing will do it. Trusting Christ, calling upon the name of the Lord. And in this case, Thomas did believe after he had seen these things. So the Lord has commanded us to believe. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 again, and I'll just read a couple verses, though we've already been there this morning, but not exactly. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and I'd just like to read the verses 3 and 4 again to refresh our mind. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, for I delivered unto you first of all that which also I also receive, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Note this reference to the Scriptures, and note the fact that this is a portion of the Scriptures. Apostle Peter verifies that Apostle Paul's writings were part of the Scripture later on. And so here we have this constant reference to the Scriptures. Remember that. We'll come back to it. But right now, the clear message is that Christ that we have to take to Argentina, to Uruguay, to Chile, is that Jesus Christ died for our sins, and he rose again as proof that he had conquered and paid for the sins, and his payment was accepted by the Father who raised him up. And he ever lives to be our Savior, to intercede for us. Just reading over on verse 20, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and reading on verse 20. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the firstfruits of them that slept. But now is Christ risen from the dead. The Bible always declares that Christ rose from the dead. He's risen. There's a clear declaration in there. It would be impossible to believe in the God of the Bible without believing that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. It's inseparable. If you believe in God of the Bible, you have to believe that Jesus Christ rose from the dead, that the resurrection took place. It's just inseparable, those two things. God cannot lie, therefore we believe what he has stated there. And I'll read down a little bit more. But since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the firstfruits, thereafter they that are Christ at his coming. And if you have not ever bowed your knee and never confessed the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you want to do that, to be one of those at his coming. When the Lord comes back, that he will take you to be with him forever, and to know for sure that your eternity is secure in his hand, you must accept that free gift of salvation that he offers. You must believe in him. Let's go to one more verse in Acts chapter 17, and these are just verses that remind us Acts Acts chapter 17 and verse 31. Because he hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him, Jesus Christ, from the dead. And when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked. Others said, We will hear thee again of this matter. So Paul departed from among them. Howbeit, certain men clave unto him and believed. That word. They heard, some mocked, and some believed. And that's what's going on every day in this world today. Both kinds of men here, they hear the preaching of the word, they hear a faithful witness, they read a gospel tract, they read a portion of the scripture, but some believe and some don't believe. And so we read this over and over again, this believe, don't be unbelieving, but believing, and to trust in the Lord, believe that he raised Christ up from the dead. Know that in your hearts, that that's a sure thing that God has done. So I'm with these men. Certain of them clave unto him and believed. And I believed the message when I was a small boy and accepted Christ as my Savior. It made the most sense to me, the Bible. I suppose a child is easier to believe because they don't have a life cluttered up with a lot of nonsense. But to me, when somebody, a Sunday school teacher, taught me that I was a sinner, that was pretty obvious. My mom would agree 100%. And when they talked about God being a God of love, I could see that in so many ways too, just in the matchless creation and all that God has placed around us, and life itself, the love of a mother, all of those things. Testimony of God's goodness and grace and love, and by his word too. And I accepted Christ as my Savior. I'm a believer. You can call me a creyente in Spanish. I'm a believer. I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ that he died for my sins. And I just want to read a couple examples here. I won't read them. I'll just refer to them. In Luke 24, when Christ met the men on the road to Emmaus, and he said to them, why are you so slow to believe all that's written in the scriptures? And once again, remember that word, the scriptures, God's word. I couldn't believe it. How many times when the resurrection is mentioned, there's a reference back to believing the scriptures, God's word, what was written. In other words, the real question is, do you believe Pastor Matt, or do you believe Dr. Mitchell, or do you believe your Sunday school teacher? The real question is then, do you believe the scriptures, God's word? It isn't really, can I put my fingers in the nail marks? It isn't really, can I put my finger in his side? That's not really the question. The question is, do I believe God's word? Do I believe this witness that he's given of the resurrection? It's written, both Old Testament and New Testament. Do I believe? He obviously expects people to believe. The Lord expects them to be believing and not to be unbelieving. And so he's given us his word with that purpose. And in Luke chapter 16, we read of we see the story of the rich man and Lazarus. And the rich man requested, when he's there waiting in Hades, he requests that someone would go back from the dead and resurrect and warn his brothers, his family, so that they won't go to that same place where he ended up. And the answer that the Lord gives at that time is that even if one comes back from the dead, they will not believe, because they have not believed in the prophets and in the scripture that God has already given. And you'd say, well, I don't know if that's true. It seemed to me like people might get pretty shaken up if someone came back from the dead. Just a short time later, who came back from the dead? The Lord Jesus Christ. He came back from the dead, and guess what? Many, many people do not believe, even today. And yet one came back from the dead and witnessed and was seen by many and testified. And the disciples wrote even more of the scriptures there for us, affirming that. And so that was right when he said in Luke that they would not believe even if one came back from the dead. That's so true. And yet we have believed because we have read in God's word, and we trust the scriptures. Why do other religions believe what they hear? Well, they're basically following other men. They may be following a man whom they consider a prophet. They may be following the writings of some spiritual leader, and they're following that person. We have to be careful with why we believe. And what we believe. It's really important to know. In other words, do I come to Fellowship Bible Church because, well, I like what they teach? Or do I come to Fellowship Bible Church because they teach the Bible, God's Word? I send my children to the Sunday school at Fellowship Bible Church because I like the teachers. And they're nice ladies, and they're faithful, and the Sunday school teachers and everything? Or do I send my children to the Sunday school at Fellowship Bible Church because the teachers are teaching the Bible to my children? They're teaching God's Word to my children. See the difference it makes? We're here at Fellowship Bible Church because we believe God's Word, and because God's Word is preached and taught to us here at this church. And that's what separates us from a multitude of cults and other religions around the world. They do not come to listen and study God's Word, to know what God has to say. And they're not believing in God's Word. They're believing in men and many other things, revelations that supposedly were given to other prophets. That's what they're believing in. They're not believing in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And going back to our text there in John chapter 20, I just want to draw our attention to how he closes there in John chapter 20 and verse 31. But these are written, God's word, that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. So, believing in the resurrection, in the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, interesting enough, leads us to life eternal. And life eternal is to know him. And that's where it leads us to. And I thank the Lord for the terrific opportunity to see people come to know Christ as Savior. There's nothing that makes me happier and excited than to see men and women come to know Jesus Christ as Savior. In general, in South America, people who have had the old Catholic background are very fearful people. They don't know if they're saved. They don't know if they're going to heaven. They don't know if they've done enough good works to be right with God, acceptable by God. They don't think anyone can know if they've done enough good works. And they live in fear. They don't know about the future. And when they come to know God's Word, and when they come to find that Jesus Christ died and paid for all of their sins, that there would be no condemnation left for them if they accepted him as Savior. When they believe that God raised him up from the dead because his sacrifice was acceptable and has exalted him on high, given him a name that is above all names, when they believe that, there's a change of life. And they've got an assurance, a confidence, a peace of heart, total change in their lives. I didn't know Dr. Mitchell before he was saved. I didn't know Pastor Matt Postiff before he was saved either. But change, that's what happens when you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. There's change in your life. And it is this, we've come to eternal life, to find eternal life in Christ. We were working off the coast of Chile in a group of islands called the Chiloé Islands, and we were doing evangelism out there. A family came out to the meetings. They heard the preaching and teaching of God's Word. I wasn't very good at speaking Spanish at that time, so the team of young people, Chileans I was with, they gave me the job of teaching the memory verse, because every night for the evangelistic meeting, before the preaching, we memorized a verse of Scripture, a good salvation verse. And I didn't have a good chalkboard. I had the metal top off of a 50-gallon barrel, you know, because we used those 50-gallon barrels to haul our tin equipment. And, of course, it was painted on the inside and a dark color, and so I could use a chalk. And as they repeated that over and over, I'd keep erasing some words, you know what I mean? We'd keep right on. By the end of the week, they had probably learned 5 or 6 memory verses, portions of God's Word, by memory. And that was our goal, to hide God's Word in their hearts, because it'll come back to their memory later. And so that was my job. I didn't do a lot of the preaching. But these young men, some of them were Bible school students, they did a good job of preaching. This family, the Avendaño family, three of the young people, the teenagers, came to Christ as Savior, put their faith in Christ. And the Lord did a work in their lives. They were so hungry to learn. They were out on an isolated island called the Island of Kawach. And they couldn't come have contact with us that often, because we're about 2 hours away by water. And it's cold down there. Little penguins all over. Cold water down in that part of the Pacific. And they would listen to Transworld Radio or something on a shortwave radio set and try to listen to some Bible teaching. They would memorize Scripture and things like that. But God did a work in that family's life. And in the end, all the family, mom and dad and everyone, came to know Christ as Savior. One of the young men is a pastor, and he's a pilot working in that boat ministry down in those same islands today, preaching the gospel. We were in Santiago, a city of 6 million people, and doing church planning work there. One night in a drama presentation of the gospel, a retired Marine officer came to Christ, he and his wife, a Savior. Luis Pavez was his name, and I had the opportunity to teach him and train him and work with him in that local church. He's now with the Lord. There's a good number, Domingo Trincado, another man there who was a printer and came to know Christ as Savior. Both of those two men are now with the Lord. But they accepted Christ as Savior, came to have that peace in their hearts, no longer fearful of what the future holds, because they were creyentes, they were believers. And that's the same thing that we need here in the United States as well, is to put our faith in Christ, to believe that He died, that He rose again. So the resurrection morning that we celebrate this morning is a very important event. And it basically divides between those who believe and those who do not believe. The unbelieving and the believing. And each one of us before the Lord, we know where we stand on that. The Lord knows our hearts. He knows whether we are true believers or whether we're not. And I want to bring out that fact. Don't ever forget. The reason we believe is because it's written in God's Word. The Scriptures are there. They don't move. Pastor Matt Postiff, maybe he'll move on someday. Maybe not. Dr. Mitchell will probably go off to some country riding a motorbike somewhere. And we move on. We're headed for Argentina, Lord willing, on June 4th. And down there preaching. But God's Word doesn't move. It never changes. It'll always be there. You can anchor your soul there on that. And believe God's Word. The Scriptures were given for that. The Lord help us to not be slow to believe. The Lord help us to not be like Thomas. I won't believe. I don't believe. The Lord help us in that. The Lord help us to commend our hearts to the Lord, to believe and trust His word, and grow in grace as He allows. And I do thank the Lord again for Fellowship Bible Church. I thank you for the testimony of your lives. We do follow your lives, many of you, and we are very interested in how you follow the Lord, how you serve the Lord. You're a great encouragement to us in our Christian walk. And we are truly brothers and sisters in Christ. Let's just pray. Our Father, we thank you again for your word that's not difficult to understand. But, oh Lord, how this believing and unbelieving of hearts is so important. We pray that each one here this morning would be a believer and would believe in your death and resurrection and have eternal life. Father, we thank you again for how you opened our eyes and how you gave us that gift of faith to believe and trust in you. We pray now for Argentina as we go, that you would open the hearts and lives of many who hear your word. We pray for Dr. Mitchell as he goes, Lord, that you'll give him many opportunities to bring others to Christ. And Father, we pray for Fellowship Bible Church that you would continue to call out a people from Ann Arbor, Michigan, for yourself and for your glory, that they might have eternal life. We ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen.